Welcome to Extreme Prophetic. My name's Patricia King, and I'm really glad that you've joined us for today's program. Do you know that there are children all over the world who are being exploited in the sex trade? We're going to hear about that and more on today's program. For the last few years, our ministry has been really concerned about children who are being exploited in the sex trade. And there's such atrocities that have been taking place. And so we've been stirred and we've been taking some initiatives to help children at risk. But in this last year, we've just really locked in and we're determined to do more than we've ever done before. And so recently, we sent a team over to Cambodia and to Thailand to check out things over there, because internationally, Cambodia and Thailand are like hubs for the child sex trade. And so we were absolutely astounded at what we discovered while we were there. But I'd like to right now just give you a few statistics that'll really shake you as far as what we found out. And I want this to just penetrate your heart and give you so much compassion for these children, and also a righteous indignation. That's what I'm praying is going to rise up on the inside of you when you hear some of these statistics. It's just atrocious what is going on. So here are some of the statistics for Cambodia concerning sex trafficking, and mainly the sex trafficking of children. The number of forced sex slaves in Cambodia is estimated to be between 50,000 and 100,000. That's the number of forced sex slaves in Cambodia. 50,000 to 100,000 individuals are forced into that sex slave trade. It's terrible. 65% of them are forced into the sex trade by being sold, drugged, or beaten. So they're drugged, they're taken off the streets, they're not offered money or anything, they're just stolen and forced into it in that way. 65% of them are brought in that way. 35% of them are estimated to be children under 17 years of age. 35% of them. One-third of them have HIV. The slum areas of Phnom Penh, 50 to 80% of the parents sell their kids to the sex service to help with family finances. 50 to 80% of the parents sell a child within their family into the sex trade to help them with the family financial needs. Now, I want you to take note of that one, because there's something that we can do about that. And as a ministry, we are asking God all the time for creative ideas on how we can get these families looked after so they don't sell their children into that kind of trade. Because in many of these areas, it just seems like normal activity. Oh, well, yeah, everyone does it. It's just the way it goes with children over here. Also, in 2005, total tourist visits, and the majority of them were sex tourists, to the country reached 1.4 million. 1.4 million tourists, and most of them for the sex trade, were visiting the country of Cambodia in 2005. Now, that has accelerated since that time exponentially. Those were the latest statistics that we were able to get, 35% higher than the previous year. So if that were to escalate 35% every year up until now, and it's actually more than that, it's just mind-boggling. You can't even comprehend it. That means that people choose to go to Cambodia and Thailand as well, but Cambodia for the purpose of a sexual holiday, for the purpose of buying someone in the sex trade who can give them the fantasy of their life. Terrible. More than 70% of children surveyed in the vicinity of a common tourist destination said tourists had approached them for sex. So they did a survey of the children in this one area that was highly visited, of people looking for, sexual pleasure. 70% of the children that they approached for this survey said that they had been approached by tourists for sex. These are children. 70% of the children that were interviewed were approached by tourists to have sex with them. I don't know about you, but this angers me beyond belief, with a righteous anger. You know, David said that he hated with a perfect hatred. Do you hate sin with a perfect hatred? How would you like it if your little child or your grandchild were approached by a tourist to have sex with them? It just stirs me, like, ugh. Okay, globally, let's look at what's going on globally. It is estimated that 2 million children are enslaved in the global commercial sex trade. 2 million children globally are officially in the sex trade. It is estimated that U.S.-based websites advertising sex tourism rake in over $150 million each per year. And you know what? That has increased now. This is a 2005 statistic. This has increased since that time. But this is in the United States of America. This is not in Cambodia. This is not in Thailand. This is in North America, that over $150 million has been raked in through the sex tourism trade, U.S.-based websites. And this is way beyond that now. Finally, around 10 million children, mainly girls, are sexually exploited in the world. 10 million children, 10 million little girls sexually exploited in the world. This is a mammoth task, and what are we going to do about it? There's lots that we can, and we'll be talking about that for sure. We're not just going to leave you overwhelmed, believe me. But I just want to finish this particular segment with a scripture. And maybe if you have your Bibles handy, you can look it up or read it later and meditate on it. Because in Job 29, the whole chapter talks about in the days when things were going really well for him and his steps were bathed in butter and all that. He says this: because I delivered the poor who cried for help, children are crying for help right now, and the orphan who had no helper, the blessing of the one ready to perish came upon me, and I made the widow's heart sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy, and I investigated the case which I did not know. I broke the jaws of the wicked and snatched the prey from his teeth. Do you want to break the jaws of the wicked? Do you want to snatch the prey from his teeth? I do, and I'm going to. Are you? Well, we'll give you some ideas on how you can do that later on in the program. Let's take a break right now.
I noticed out of the corner of my eye, I saw an older man hand a little girl, about six or seven-ish, a bill. And then they walked off together. And the first thing that ran through my mind is, this cannot be a good situation. So I just followed them. I waited for an opportunity. He put his hand in his pocket, let go of the little girl's hand, put his hand in his pocket, and I think he was looking for some keys or something, and I ran up behind the little girl, tossed her over my shoulder, and ran the other direction. He yelled at me for a bit in German, and he yelled at me a bit in English, and I didn't really know what else to do, and I have this tiny little pink camera. So I grabbed my camera, flipped it open, and took his picture, and just yelled at him that I was going to send this to his embassy. None of the social services agencies that I know are open, so I'll just bring her home with me tonight and we'll take care of the rest tomorrow. So we were walking down the street and she, you know, taps me on the hand and she's terrified, but she still said to me, she said, well, can we see about my sister? 4-year-old sister was hiding behind a kind of a dumpster, and that's, I guess, where she'd been told to wait by her older sister. And so I thought, okay, now I've got two kids, so we're gonna go home. So we get on my motorcycle, the three of us, and I turn the motorcycle on and we start to drive away, and one of them just grabs my shirt and pulls on it, and she says, can we see about my other sister? And inside the alley was a very well-known, it's a brothel street. I just kind of walked in the front door and asked for the young lady who was their sister. And she came out and I told her, I said, we're going. Your sisters have asked for you to come with us. And so we're going. Let's go. She grabbed my hand and said, "Just a minute." And I thought, "No, there's no way. There's three of you. There can't be four." And she asked me, she said, "Can I bring my son?" So we had a 14-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-month-old. And me, all on one motorcycle, driving to my house with me having absolutely no clue what I was going to do with them. We go home, give the kids a bath. They all slept with me in my room that night. They were all pretty scared. The little ones would wake up screaming for the next couple of nights. Social services didn't know what to do with them all yet, so we had to kind of wait for a social worker to come do a house visit, and that took a couple of days. So I got to know the girls and got them registered at a school. The two youngest ones, the 4-year-old and the 6-year-old, they are now at an orphanage that's run by a Christian organization, and they're having a great time. I visit them about once a month and kind of get to see their progress, and they're just doing fantastic. They've really been healed of some of the scars and things like that, and they'll still have to deal with more as they get older. But we've seen such a change in their demeanor. They're not scared and shy and quiet. They're noisy and boisterous and zany, just like kids are supposed to be.
You know, I totally believe that we can overturn the sex trade. I believe that we can demolish it all, because this sex trade and all of its, you know, cartel leaders and everything, it's not too big for God. God is a lot greater. And we can do it just little bits at a time. I know as a ministry, we started out reaching out to children at risk, like orphans, and helping to meet their needs. I remember Heidi Baker, a good friend of mine, she was telling me how she has such compassion for the kids. It's hard for her to turn away a child. But she says, you know, we can only do so much. I said, well, if you take them in, we're going to help you build those homes. And so we've been able to build and care for on a monthly basis many homes for Iris Ministries and other ministries as well. And so we can always start somewhere. When we met Rick Lombar of CRTC and found out that they were helping little children who had been exploited in the sex trade in North America and helping them with reconstruction surgeries and deliverance ministry and that, we decided that we were going to just get in there and help them out. And so you can just start somewhere. But as we did, the more we did, the more our burden grew. So this last year, we sent a team off to Cambodia and to Thailand and said, just go on a scouting trip. I want you to go over and intercede. I want you to come back with the heart of Jesus for our ministry and just tell us what's going on and get a strategy. Let's get a strategy as to how we can help these children. So we sent Ralph and Donna Bromley, who oversee our missions department. Lori Myers went, as well as Melina Zlatkova. And they came back with these reports of what was going on with the children. And so Lori, we're going to bring her on in a few moments just to share just a couple of things from the trip over there, just to share with you some of the things that they saw. And then after we finish that trip, we're going to come back and let you know what we can do, what we can do, what you can do to start just taking that step of faith forward to demolish this whole thing. Because there's prayer, there's going on these trips, and there's taking in the orphans, or there's helping families get released into businesses and stuff like that so that they don't have to sell their children in the sex trade. But we're going to share some more about that after this clip. Here's Lori.
We came upon these two little boys, maybe 4 and 2 years old, just laying there. One was out cold, and it was like really noisy, trafficy place, and the other one was sort of crying, whimpering in his sleep. And what we learned is that these little children are often abducted and owned, just like pimps own prostitutes and control them. There's like begging trades, and people own these children, and they do keep them in a quasi-drug state so the kids can't run away, and then they put them out playing on people's compassion, and anybody that leaves money or anything for these kids, it'll just be taken. And so they're basically like modern-day slaves. Wow, we just saw so much. We saw kids just Sometimes these tiny little pint-sized kids carrying garbage bags as big as them, just up and down the streets looking in garbage cans and just picking up any litter strewn. The poverty is just intense, and so they're just trying to find any means of survival. We saw kids that should be in school pulling these big, heavy wooden carts, you know, transportation of goods and farm goods, and so trying to make some kind of living. We heard stories of kids that were just absolutely heartbreaking. One story that comes to mind, and just for sake of privacy, I'll call her Sanja. This ministry there that we were partnering with a little bit had received a phone call and from a mother, very distraught, saying, "My little girl, Sanja, is 7 years old, and she's absolutely lost her mind. Can you help us?" And when the team went to intervene, because that is part of Kids at Risk, is intervention, and they heard the whole story. When Sanja was 3, she was gang raped, and because of the issues and the lack of medical care and the lack of finances, single mother, had no means, took her to the little medical clinic. He could do nothing for her. She was bleeding. She was just ripped and torn, and did what he could, but she couldn't get her into hospital. She actually probably needed surgery to repair the damage, and so just took her home, and now 4 years later, this little girl is still in pain and bleeding and can hardly walk, and you wonder why she's lost her mind.
Okay, now let's get down to business here. We've heard statistics, we've heard the testimonies of all the stuff that's going on there. Now, what are we going to do about it? And I would like to give you a few suggestions. First of all, you can start by praying. God answers our prayer. Last year, we went and launched a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week prayer chain, which we have hundreds of intercessors on it now, that pray for 1 hour a week. And we cover every hour of the day, 7 days a week, having people praying for the rescue of children out of the sex trade and also for the demolishing of the sex trade. And so prayer is powerful. In fact, when we first started that prayer chain, just within the first couple of weeks, we had our first answer to prayer. We had put out a whole profile of a child who had gone missing. They'd been stolen, and it was for probably the purpose of the sex trade and that. And this was in North America. We prayed for that child to be found, and within 2 weeks, the child was discovered and brought back to their parents, and they were snatched out of the hand of the enemy. Just one more example was we had started to pray for Cambodia before we went there on our scouting trip, because we knew that there was sex cartels there that were just making, you know, multi-millions of dollars, maybe even billions of dollars in that sex trade. And so we started praying for a demolishing of that, and that the government institutions would see it, and the law enforcement agencies and that, and that there would be an arresting of the heads of these things. Well, within a couple of weeks of the time that we put out that particular prayer request, right on the front headline page of the newspaper, as well as on the news and everything, was a report that a sex cartel in Cambodia had been overturned. There'd been a big sting operation, and the whole thing broke up. Now, that's just a couple of examples. So prayer is the first thing that you can do. You can determine to pray, and I'd say just find out all the information that you can, and then go for it. The next thing that you can do is even go over to some of these places and have a look. Go on a holiday. I know that we have trips and outreaches maybe coming up even in the next year. We might have some advertised on our website that you can go to. But there's many ministries that feature these kind of outreaches where you kind of take your holiday time and go, but you search out the needs in those areas and see how you can help. There's a lot of good ministries over there that just need more help, so you can help in that way. You can also help with your financial giving. You can also help by taking in maybe a child at risk through adopting an orphan. There's so many things that you can do to help. Do we have the ability to overturn this whole thing? I believe that we do. I believe that we can just press in and overturn the whole industry and take every life that's being exploited for the glory of God. Let's believe together for that.
May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all of your sacrifices. May he give you the desires of your heart and make all of your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant you all your requests.
Destiny Words are prophetic words of encouragement from the heart of God just for you.
You know, we're just launching a new project, and it's taking girls off the street. We do a lot of ministry in the inner city, and over the last few years, we've been so grieved because when we lead them to the Lord and put them in different places, it seems like they just don't have the ability to bring them all the way through into wholeness, and that because of the lack of staff and the lack of finance, and also because they're right down still in the area. So this desire came to us as a team to believe God for a house where we could take one or two of these girls at a time, not a whole house full, but just one or two girls at a time, maybe the young ones, get them off the crack, get them off the streets, get them out of prostitution. Some of them are, you know, 16, 17 years of age, but just bring healing to them and deliverance and just see them come into wholeness and put them in the home for a year, teach them a trade, put them through a program. They can stay there as long as they need to in order to just get really free. Well, this is coming to my mind right now, and I think it's because the Lord's showing me that someone who's watching this program has been in that state. You're listening to this program right now, and you're saying, I so want to help these girls, and I've been in that place myself. I've been on the street as a young girl at 14 years of age, and I was exploited in the sex trade. I was prostituting myself at 14 years of age, and now I'm free from that life, but I want to go back and help others. And it's actually been in your heart to do something, but it all seems overwhelming, and you think, how am I going to do it? How am I going to get the money? How am I going to get the help that I need? And, you know, we went through those same questions. You know, there are so many demands on the ministry and so many financial needs. We wondered, well, how can we do this? We need staff. We need a house. We need to buy a house. We need to buy the furniture. We need to look after these girls every month. How are we going to do it? And all you have to do is the same thing we did. We just put our desire before the Lord. And we said, Lord, just help us. Help us. Give us what we need right now, because we're going to start taking these steps of faith. And faith is coming into your heart right now. And I guarantee you that if you will go before the Lord for a strategy, he will give you the strategy and he'll give you the faith to fulfill it. Just take one step at a time, but you can do it. You can do it. In fact, you're going to do it. I just see this. In fact, you're getting so excited right now that you can hardly stand it. So I just want to encourage you. I know it's hard. I mean, we had to wrestle through these things too, but you said, no, we're going to leap in and we're going to make this commitment because every life is worth it. Even if it's just one, even if it's just two, it's worth everything that we can sacrifice to make it all happen. So just hang in there. You can do it. There's one more word that I have for someone, and that's that you have, like, you're an entrepreneur and you want to help these families. And I just want to give you an idea that we've been operating in is that we've been gathering finance to lend to families to buy property and to buy, you know, pig farms and stuff like that overseas so that they don't have to sell their children. And I'm just sensing that there's an entrepreneur out there that God might give you an idea like that because there's something stirring in your heart. And so get ready because there's downloads that are going to come to you too. Okay, here goes today's question. It's this. Dear Patricia, my heart is overwhelmed when I think of the millions of children who need help. Where do I begin and how can my feeble efforts possibly help the bigger picture? Well, I'm sure we all feel like that. You know, the picture out there is so big that only God is big enough to overcome it all. But isn't it interesting that He uses just little people and little things to do big things? Do you know that God works in smallness? Even Jesus, when He came into the earth, He came in a little small baby package, you know, and yet He was the Savior of the whole wide world. And so you might feel small, but your smallness in Christ is big enough to do big things. And, you know, think of the little boy with the loaves and fishes. He only had a few things in his hand, and the disciples were so overwhelmed because they saw the big mass before them. There was over 5,000 people in front of them, and they were all hungry, and they had no food. All they had was this little bit in the little boy's hand, and so Jesus said, just take what you have. Just take what you have. And He lifted that up. Jesus lifted it up and He gave thanks to the Father for the little bit. And then He broke it and broke it and broke it. And the more it was given out, the more there was to give. And I think that's the key. Just start somewhere. Maybe it's becoming a supporter for a child at risk. Take on a little orphan and maybe give $30 a month or $50, $75 a month or something to make that little life go a little bit better. It might seem little to you, but to that child it could mean everything. Maybe just start out with praying for half an hour a day for children at risk. It doesn't take much time, doesn't take much effort. What we did is we asked the Lord to give us money so that we could help people that were in poverty-stricken countries buy pigs for their pig farm so that, you know, they could have a family business and that they wouldn't have to sell their children into slavery. You know, it's just little thoughts like that, just little things, one at a time, one little effort at a time makes a world of difference. So don't be all discouraged and don't think that you're really small and can't do anything, because your smallness is probably your greatest asset. It means that God is big in you.